The countdown is on for the 2021 ECEC Virtual Annual Convention and Legislative Summit, taking place on April 26th through the 28th. Don't miss the premier event in engineering, featuring a high-powered lineup of distinguished speakers from congressional representatives and political commentators to firm leaders and business consultants. Take advantage of unprecedented learning opportunities. For the first time, earn all 18 PDHs through live or on-demand education sessions. Network with your peers and meet with exhibitors through our reimagined virtual platform. The 2021 ACEC Virtual Annual Convention and Legislative Summit has everything you need to prepare your business to succeed. Register now at acec.org. Welcome to Engineering Influence, a podcast from the American Council of Engineering Companies. Recently, we've been talking a lot about the ACEC Research Institute and the reports that they have been publishing over the past weeks. First, a profile of the engineering industry to benchmark its scale and scope. The second was an economic contribution report, which finally put some hard data behind the actual economic contribution that the industry makes, both on job creation and GDP. Then that was followed by a forecast that looked in 5 years ahead of where the engineering industry is heading. A very important thing to look at, especially now as we hopefully exit the ill effects of the pandemic on the economy. And what we want to do is kind of delve a little bit deeper into these and try to tie both areas of our industry, the horizontal and vertical, together to talk about exactly, you know, how infrastructure investment generally leads to economic development. And to do so, I'm joined by two experts in the field. First, we have ACEC Board Chair Charlie Gadzetsky. Of course, he's Chairman Emeritus of Hardesty in Hanover in New York, and ACEC Research Institute board member, Gail Packer. She's the president and CEO of Terracon Consultants. Charlie, Gail, welcome to you both. Thanks for coming on the show. What I'd like to start off with is to get each of your perspectives on how important engineering is to the American economy from your own perspective and the work that you have done at your firms. Charlie, let's start with you. I mean, what's your overall take on the importance of engineering to the American economy?
Well, thank you, Jeff, for inviting me. And first, let me begin by giving a shout out and a hip hip hooray to the ACEC Research Institute. What a wonderful organization that is doing great things for the engineering industry. As we all know, it's an independent evaluator of information, and it's really doing a great justice to our engineering industry. You know, engineers, for the most part, are not good marketers, and this gives us really an outlet to get information out about us. So again, congratulations to the Research Institute. So now, to get back to your question, you know, how important is engineering to the American economy? Well, we are part of a $600 billion of GDP for engineering and architecture industry. We have 1.5 million jobs in the economy, and that also contributes to 3 million indirect jobs associated with the A&E industry. We generate a revenue of over $400 billion, and even our services create and generates $45 billion in tax revenue every year. So in both the public and private, so we have a significant impact in the overall economy.
Absolutely. Gail, how do you see it?
Well, I would echo everything Charlie said in terms of the numbers, but one of the things that I think is even maybe a little bit more fundamental that sometimes we forget, and I am not an engineer. I didn't grow up in this industry. I've been in the industry about 17 years now, but I came to the industry from outside of it. And one of the things that impresses me the most, and I think that is so critical to the American, it's just the public safety aspect of what we do. I mean, this is an industry that is absolutely focused on doing the right thing and doing it in a way that keeps the public safe. And it's just elemental to everything that we have. We can't really have a functioning American economy without the engineering industry. And I think that, again, to Charlie's point, we're full of people who do not necessarily tout their own what all we're doing. And so one of the things that I really like about the ACEC Research Institute is that it is allowing us to put some dollars and some talking points behind what this industry does and provide that in a way that allows us to do so without feeling like we're bragging about what we're doing, which just goes against the character of some of the people in the industry.
Yeah. You know, it kind of, to both of your points, you know, it's one of those things where we see this impact, the contribution to GDP, the fact that no infrastructure or building or anything in the built environment can actually occur without design, and it's at the first step, right? You have to design it before you can build it. But there are other areas of the economy that are, of course, large and very active and vibrant, and, you know, they are seen very readily. It's very readily apparent, you know, what they're doing. Why do you think that engineering's impact isn't as readily seen as some other sectors? Is it because of how early it comes in the process? Is it people's focus on the end product instead of the process of getting there? Is there, you know, one thing that drives that, in your opinion, Charlie?
Yeah, you know, there's two points of view on this, and I think is generational. You know, we have now a society that is not only come accustomed to, but have expectations of instant infrastructure. You know, 30, 40 years ago, before they passed legislation for clean water, you know, clean water was a luxury. Now it's more of a expectation. And people are used to having comfortable shelters, reliable infrastructure. But the second part is, you know, we kind of, if you want a kind of an analogy, we work under the hood. You know, people shut that hood down and they expect that car to go, but all our work is under the hood. And that's, you know, we recognize that, we realize that. But that's why, again, a shout out to the Research Institute to help us, you know, tell society what we do, and that all these infrastructure infrastructure that's put in place is not by accident. It's done by professionals. It's done with a lot of care. It's done with a lot of safety. Done with a lot of thought and professionalism. And we need it just to again just let society know of the not only the importance of infrastructure, but who really does the infrastructure for mm-hmm. everybody.
Absolutely. That's a really good point, because, you know, it's the thing about infrastructure, and at least, you know, when it comes to service infrastructure, it's always people don't pay attention to it until they have a problem with it. If they hit a pothole or if their train is delayed, then they think about it. But they don't think about it. Good infrastructure is when you don't even think about it, right? So it's kind of that catch-22. The work that goes into it properly, you know, the end result is something that you don't even think about when you use it. And that is also a little bit of a conundrum, I guess. Gail, what's your perspective?
Yeah, I think, well, Charlie said it really well, and Jeff, you just touched on something that I think when we think infrastructure, many people in the general public just think highways.
Yeah.
But infrastructure is so much broader than that. And some of the recent events in Texas in February, where electricity is something you flip a switch on the wall and it turns on, and yet most of the state was without, because of basically it's ultimately infrastructure that gets it to you. And I think there's now a little bit of a renewed interest on, wait a minute, maybe we should be paying more attention to this than what we think, when it comes to these basics that we all just come to expect living in America today about what we should or shouldn't have: clean water, electricity, safe shelter. I think it's just something that we've taken for granted infrastructure for too long. And we need to start investing in it in a way, because we are behind most of the developed countries in that area.
And that brings up a very timely point, because today the Biden administration came out with their proposal. Really, what we've seen so far is a document that's about 25 pages of a summary. And we're still going through it, because it is a transformative, very large bill. And what they're proposing is quite broad and sweeping, not just infrastructure, but it goes into a lot of different areas. Some we're involved in, some we're not. And we're looking at how everything's going to be paid for, of course. But that brings up the idea of congressional action on infrastructure. Why is it so important And I think this is a good question to ask, especially now, since everybody's attention is going to be pushed onto infrastructure. Why is it so critical, not just for our industry, but for the economy and for recovery from the pandemic and just general America's economic future, for Congress to get something done on infrastructure this year? Charlie, I know you've been a very big proponent for congressional action on infrastructure. You know, what is your rationale for that?
Yeah, well, history is on our side. Every time there is a vast economic downturn, the engineering industry has been the foundation, the rock solid base of a recovery. Infrastructure is a good way to jumpstart economy, get people employed, get activity going in all sectors. And I want to bring up another point that Gail brought up too, because people have to understand that when we talk about infrastructure, we also talk about public and private side of infrastructure. And that's an important distinction because we both need each other. Just a recent statistic on infrastructure, 65% of all infrastructure is in private, 30% is state and local, and only 5% is federal owned. However, a lot of the legislation and a lot of the incentives and a lot of the regulations that go along for the infrastructure are generated at the federal level, so it's extremely important. So again, it's, you know, the recovery, and like you said, this is very timely, this podcast today. They're going to announce the approximately $2 to $3 trillion infrastructure plan, and I'd be happy to talk about that in the future because we're excited about it. And I think, again, the country needs it, the society needs it, and the United States needs it. So let's go for it.
And Gail?
Yeah, I just want to point out one other aspect of that too, and that's just in general the public safety. And one of the things that I know when the U.S. Department of Transportation and ARPA came out with a study of our bridges in the United States, and there are over 230,000 structurally deficient bridges in the United States that need to be fixed. This is something that's just, it's not okay from a public safety perspective. It's just not okay. We have to keep investing in infrastructure at all levels. And one of the things that makes it important this year, as Charlie mentioned, a lot of state and local tax revenues are declined. A lot of state and local tax revenue headwinds that are going to be coming after us here in the next 2 years, probably, are going to impact the local ability to fund infrastructure projects without some kind of federal infrastructure bill that gets passed. So I think it's really important this year as well.
Absolutely. And let's go back to that, really the pandemic, what we're living through right now, because there's been a general economic downturn. Hopefully the light at, you know, we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel on that, but no one can deny the fact that the pandemic is essentially a man-made economic downturn. We shut everything down. From your perspectives and in your areas of the industry, have you noticed a decline in revenues tied to the pandemic? Because the Institute forecast did show that growth is going to be going down. I mean, it's not as though we are going down significantly, but there's going to be a softening of the growth curve there. And the big unknown, the risk is that's the unknown is, if Congress actually does pass an infrastructure bill, you know, our growth curve, our trajectory is going to be really, you know, either, you know, helped or you know, harmed by the level of investment there. How has the pandemic actually impacted your operations?
Well, it's interesting because in my case, we are probably 90 to 95% public revenue, and most of our contracts usually I would have to say have an average of a 2 to 3 year term on it. So short term, we really had very little impact. Some projects were stopped, there's no question about it. And again, I kind of describe it in four quartiles on the design side. If the design was 90 to 95% done, they said finish the job. If it was under 25%, they probably stopped the job. Mm-hmm. And if anywhere in between, it was based on a priority basis. So it probably not only got stopped, maybe it'll get restarted later on with with a time frame extension. You know, ACEC did a great job right up front having engineering be declared essential. So again, all our services associated with construction were not only maintained, but were accelerated because with the reduction in transportation, both on public transportation and highway, we were able to have the contractors accelerate some of the, and a good example is, you know, some of the airport work where, you know, it's very congested and with no traffic on there, they were able to accelerate a lot of good job, and our services got accelerated. But the downside was that on the public side, a lot of the procurement was stopped. So revenue was dropped significantly. We'll see how much picks up after this starts to recover. So that's really on the public side, and then on the public, on the private side, on maybe Gail could speak a little bit more about this. But in New York, especially, the commercial sector got hit really hard. The hospitals and health facilities actually had a tremendous boost. They had to modify all their facilities immediately, change their MEP and plants, and there was a lot going on, and still a lot going on there. So it's a sector by sector impact of the pandemic. But we start to see now people are starting to come back slowly. I know that the Research Institute said that we dropped 7%, expect another 4% drop. That's probably in line with what our expectation is, but we expect a strong recovery after that.
Yeah. And Gail, what are you seeing?
Yeah, so we're in 160 locations across the company. We're about, or country, we're about 60% private and 40% public. So we've got a little bit different mix than Charlie does. And we work in a lot of different sectors of the economy. So I like to say we're agnostic about what industry we're working within and services we're providing on the geotech, environmental, facilities and materials side of things. So our revenue didn't actually go down in 2020. And we're projecting an increase in 2021. But as Charlie mentioned, that is highly variable based on sectors of the economy. So power generation, transmission, renewables, logistics, technology, you know, we can't almost keep up with the amount of work that's coming out of those sectors. Retail, commercial went down. And some healthcare facilities even went down because they were projecting building new facilities, and instead they had to redeploy resources to address the pandemic related situation. So we feel like we're well positioned for the future when that spending comes back, but it was highly dependent on the sector. And certainly with offices across the U.S., last April was pretty dicey in terms of projects being put on hold. I mean, it was a good time to be essential, but in a lot of geographies, even essential work was really limited in beginning of April last year. So most of that work has come back. There's a little bit that's still on hold, but we feel pretty confident about moving forward. I do think it's going to be bumpy. I do think that the more diversified you are as an engineering firm, the more diversified you are in different sectors, easier it will be to navigate this because there are bright spots in this economy. But there certainly are some strong headwinds in specific sectors as well.
Absolutely. And I think that goes back to the really the scope and vision with this infrastructure bill. It's that if there is proper investment in multiple sectors and not just focused in one, then, you know, that climb out of the downturn in the economy is going to be softened. And right now what we're looking at is a, you know, roughly, you know, 3% annual growth from 2022 to 2024 based on the forecast. And that's primarily due to the pandemic-related stimulus spending. And then that will trail off around 2025. So that investment that's made, if an investment is made by Congress to put the money in place for projects in not just on surface infrastructure, but when you talk about water, when you talk about digital, when you talk about all these different areas, if an engineering firm is diversified into those areas, they're going to be able to take advantage of that. You know, one of the things that when I was a staffer for former Chairman Schuster, we represented middle of nowhere Pennsylvania, pretty much. Jim Carville always used to say that Pennsylvania was, you know, you had Philadelphia, you had Pittsburgh, and you had Alabama in the middle. And we were essentially right there in the middle of the Alabama part where, you know, a lot of the money went to the two big cities and not much came to the middle. And economic development was critically important. And we always talked about getting businesses attracted to that area. Well, the argument there is REI or another company is not going to build a distribution center unless they have a road to get there, unless they can make the justification to build that facility. Verizon's not going to build a data center. Amazon's not going to build a warehouse unless there's infrastructure to support it. That's why we say, you know, good infrastructure paves the way for economic development and private sector investment. Can you give us an idea or an example, if you have one, of where investments in infrastructure, either in a project that you worked on or that you know of, led to direct investment in private sector activity, maybe not directly tied to that project, but you noticed that there was an increase after it was built? Gail?
I think if you look at what's going on in the state of Georgia right now, with their increased spending on, from the Georgia Department of Transportation and the number of warehouse facilities and distribution centers that are going into that state, I think that's directly tied to it. I think if you look at some of the technology data centers that are going in across the central U.S., those are for lots of reasons that may or may not be directly related to infrastructure, but it certainly helps that you've got a solid base of employees and also just the ability to get there and to service that those facilities really well. So I do think that for us anyway, that's certainly been very helpful in some of the economic activity we've seen around that infrastructure spending.
Yeah. And Charlie?
Yeah, so, you know, that statement of investment in infrastructure creating private sector opportunity really works all the time, almost at every place. It doesn't have to be just now, but it should be just a policy. And I'm just going to give a couple of big examples. People probably might be aware of them. One example is, you know, on the west side of Manhattan, there's a big railroad yard there, and the city and state came in and they helped paved the way to create a platform and open up the area and also extended a train, a subway line to the area. And now you have billions and billions and billions of dollars. It's a whole new neighborhood and that was created by the city and the state. Another quick example is, again, on the Jacob Javits Center. We had probably one of the smallest convention centers in the United States. We couldn't attract the big conventions. And again, the city spent, I think, $100 million to build a platform over a subway yard. They tripled the size of Javits Center, and now it's worth the economic activity is in billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah, and it just goes to show that investments in one area, you know, there's going to be secondary impacts. And one of the things, you know, my own personal example was looking at Water Resources Development Act and the investments made in ports, for example, like Charleston, where they needed to dredge the ports for the larger post-Panamax ships. And looking at all the economic activity was tied to port activity inland from Charleston and how far that extended out, not only in South Carolina, but in Georgia and also in North Carolina, and how many suppliers, businesses were attracted to the area, not only just to support port activity, but then also just take advantage of that line of commerce, that if you're able to just dredge a port, you're able to create jobs inland, far, you know, far away from the shoreline. I want to wrap up with one question from your, I want to get each of your perspectives on this, because again, it ties into what's happening with Washington. What is the one thing that if you had the opportunity to talk to a member of Congress, and hopefully we will as we start our advocacy program on the other side of the House on the ACEC when we have our spring convention later next month, what's the one thing that you would want a member of Congress to understand about our industry that they may not know? Charlie?
Again, we are directly related to the quality of life in our society. We are extremely important for every person in the country and in the world, okay? And infrastructure is a unifier, okay? It treats everybody equally, and that is a great message. But again, what the message is, engineering makes infrastructure happen. It all starts with engineering, and that would be the message, and make it loud and clear.
Gail?
I think I would just add to that that this industry has an indirect role to play and sometimes a direct role to play in many other industries that are just not visible. And you know, Charlie's analogy earlier that we're under the hood of the car is really appropriate, and that a healthy engineering industry is really supporting a lot of other healthy industries across the U.S., and infrastructure plays a big part of that.
That's great. I really do encourage everyone to look at the three studies coming from the ACEC Research Institute, because we are talking about a lot of different areas of investment. The Biden plan is going to be very transformative and very broad in scope. And it's going to be important to really boil that down to some dollars and cents and to show what kind of multiplier effect investment in engineering services can have to the broader economy. I mean, you know, the two stats that really stuck out to me was that one in 33 jobs in America is tied to our sector of the economy, that if you actually spend that $1 on engineering services, it's almost got a 2x multiplier to the GDP. It's $1.55 of increased GDP. And then I think the biggest thing is that small, if you look at the pie, a small investment in engineering services at the beginning of a construction project, under 10%, I think it's around 5%, can have a massive impact on that project. That spending the money correctly at the beginning has an impact throughout the entire life cycle of that project and beyond its completion. So it's essential. It's an essential part of the built environment. Without it, you don't have it. And the Institute has done a great job of putting out some numbers to support that. So I want to thank both of you, Charlie and Gail, for your time today and for your insight on this. And we look forward to what the Institute has coming up next. So I do appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks, Charlie.
And again, this has been Engineering Influence podcast from the American Council of Engineering Companies, and we will see you next time. The countdown is on for the 2021 ACEC Virtual Annual Convention and Legislative Summit, taking place on April 26th through the 28th. Don't miss the premier event in engineering, featuring a high-powered lineup of distinguished speakers from congressional representatives and political commentators to firm leaders and business consultants. Take advantage of unprecedented learning opportunities. For the first time, earn all 18 PDHs through live or on-demand education sessions. Network with your peers and meet with exhibitors through our reimagined virtual platform. The 2021 ACEC Virtual Annual Convention and Legislative Summit has everything you need to prepare your business to succeed. Register now at acec.org.